Today's daf is Chulin Daf Chaf Hei. We are still going through our series of Mishnayos related to that which is good for this is bad for that. That which is bad for is good for that is bad for this. So we are up to the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Chaf Dalet and Beis. Tahar b'klicheres tameh b'kala kelim. Tahar b'kala kelim tameh b'klicheres. That which is tahar by a klicheres, by a kli made out of pottery, is tameh by other kelim, and that which is tahar by other kelim is tameh by a klicheres. So as always, the Bryce is going to explain exactly what halacha is referring to. Tan rabbanon, avir klicheres tameh, the gabo tahar. The airspace of a klicheres is tameh. The outside of the klicheres is tahar. What this means to say is that if there is air, if there's tumma that goes into the airspace of a klicheres but doesn't touch it, you just dangle the tumma inside the klicheres without it touching it, so it's going to be metame the klicheres. But if you have tumma that even touches directly the outside of the klicheres does not become tame. The only way to be metame a klicheres is by having something either touch or even dangle in the inside airspace of the kli. So that's the halacha by kli cheres. Avir kola kelim tahar v'gaban tameh. But by all other kelim, as long as the tuma doesn't touch the kli, even if it's hanging in the airspace of the kli, it's going to be tahar. But gaban tameh, but if it touches the outside of the kli, or the inside of the kli for that matter, but if it touches the kli, and now the point of difference though is that even if it touches it on the outside, it could become tameh. So over here we see, this is what we referred to the other day about how there is some overlap. These are not complete opposites, because by both the kli cheres and by other kelim, if tuma touches it on the inside, it's going to be tameh. That's not only a din by kli cheres. The two cases of difference between kli cheres and other kelim is if it doesn't touch the kli but dangles in the airspace of the kli, that's tameh by kli cheres, tahar by other kelim. Or if it touches it but only from the outside, that's tahar by kli cheres, tameh by other kelim. So nimtza tahar by kli cheres, tameh by kala kelim, tahar by kala kelim, tameh by kli cheres. So it turns out in those two cases they are opposites from each other. That which is tameh by one is tahar for the other. That which is tameh for the other is tahar for the one. If you look at Tosos, v'gabo tahar, says Tosos, what does it mean, v'gabo tahar, that the inside of a klicheres is tameh, but the outside is tahar? Hainu delo mitameh migabo. That means to say it doesn't become tameh from its outside. Aval, but it's the halacha is, im nitma mitocha, once the klicheres became tameh from something touching it on the inside or dangling on the inside of the kli, nitmanami gabo, then the back of the kli does become tameh. We're just saying that in order to become tameh, the back of the kli or the outside of the kli doesn't contribute to the kli contracting tuma. But once the kli actually contracts tuma, the entire kli is tameh, including the outside of the kli, and therefore umetameh acherim. The outside of the kli can be metameh other things as well. Kedamrin b'taras kodim meruba midas deletameh mili tameh. That it's easier in a certain sense to make other things tameh than it is for itself to become tameh. Shekliheres metameh acherim me'achorav ve'ino mitameh me'achorav. Because a klicheres can be metame other things from the outside of the kli, but it can't become tame from the outside of the kli. It can only become tame from the inside of the kli. So says the Gemara, back in the Gemara, now we know anemili. How do I know that this is true? Where do I learn this halacha that a klicheres is only metame mitocho, and that even in its avir, it's metame even if nothing touches it? The Tan Rabban, we have a brisa. Tocho. Pasuk says tocho, so we darshan valf pishlo naga, that it becomes tame with tocho even if it's only tocho, but it never touches it. It's just in the airspace. How do you know that tocho means if it doesn't touch it? Maybe tocho means only if it does touch, if the tuma touches it on the inside. So Rabbi Yonasan ben Avtumas Omer, nemar tocho litameh, v'nemar tocho litameh. The word tocho appears twice. One in describing how the klicheres is metameh other things, and the other time he uses the word tocho is in describing how the klicheres becomes tameh. So ma tocho ha'omer litameh, just like the tocho when it describes it being metameh other things, afal pishalo naga, it has the ability to be metameh other things, even though it doesn't touch anything. Aftocho amur li tamei, so too when it comes to becoming tamei, afal pishlo naga, we know that it's even if it doesn't touch anything. Where are these two tochos? So they're both in the same pasuk. There's one pasuk about a kli cheres that we're darshaning in this entire gemara. Pasuk is vayikra perikir alf pasuk lamed gimel v'chol kli cheres asher yipol mehem el tocho kol asher bitocho yitma v'osos ishbaru. So it's a very confusing pasuk, because the pasuk says, literally translated, any klicheres, that it falls from them to inside of it, anything that's inside becomes tameh, and the kli gets broken. Well, what are we talking about? So we're talking about two different things in the pasuk. We're talking about both a situation of the kli becoming tameh from that which is inside of it, and a kli being mitameh, that which is inside of it. And that's why we say that kol asher betocho yitma, the thing that you put inside of it becomes tameh, but also va'osos ishboru, that you break the kli, because the kli becomes tameh. So the word tocho appears twice in the pasuk. First one is talking about v'chol kli cheres asher yipol mehem el tocho. It's a din in the kli, that any kli that yipol mehem, that from that tuma falls into the kli, into the toch of the kli, and it means even if it doesn't touch, just in the airspace of the kli, it's enough to even tell me the kli. And then we say kol asher bitocho yitma, that which is bitocho, meaning anything tar that went into the airspace of a tame kli will become tame. So it's all one pasuk, and within that pasuk we darshan everything. So the Gemara v'hasaminol. So what did we just dash? And we said, just like when it comes to making other things tameh, it only the kli cheres makes other things tameh even if it doesn't touch it. So too, when it comes to becoming tameh, kli cheres can become tameh even if the tumah never touched it; it's just dangling in its airspace. But how do you know that it's true when it comes to making other things tameh? It doesn't have to touch those items in order to make them tameh. V'hasa minalan. Where do you see that from in the pasuk? So Rabbi Yonasan haTorah hi'idal kli cheres v'afilu malei chardal. Because the Torah says about the kli cheres, it says kol asher betocho, everything that's inside of it, and it sounds like even if it's full of mustard seeds. Now, if it's full of mustard seeds, Rashi paints the picture for you. Rashi says shakli eino nogea bekulo el b'masha samuk ledefanos. Rashi points out that the kli is obviously not touching every single mustard seed. The kli is only touching the mustard seeds that are on the perimeter, that are touching the walls of the kli. But mustard seeds are very tiny. They have a whole kli full of them. The large majority of them are not actually touching the kli. Vayim soyim, the middle ones, mitamim mina avir, yet they still become tameh. How are they becoming tameh? They're not touching the kli. Must be they're becoming tameh because they're in the airspace of the kli, and that's enough. V'yata yachalomer shezem mitameh azeh. So says Rashi, wait a second, maybe you'll tell me no. You know why the mustard seeds are becoming tameh, the ones that aren't even touching the kli? Because they're touching the other mustard seeds, which are touching the kli. So maybe it's by transference of tumah from the kli to the mustard seeds that touch it, and then those mustard seeds to the mustard seeds that touch that, etc. So Rashi says several reasons, three reasons, why that cannot be the case. First of all, shari ein kebeitza b'kol echad. In order for something to be mitame something else, it needs to be at least the size of a kibetza. None of the mustard seeds are the size of a kibetza, so none of them would be able to transfer tumah to something else. Second of all, va'od ein ochel mitame ochel. This is just a simple rule when it comes to tumah. Food cannot be mitame other food. Va'od, third reason, im kein ze sheni v'ze shlishi v'a shlishi lo yasul revi l'tame yasem tzayim. Then the mustard seeds that are on the surface, the perimeter, would be the a sheni. And then even if it were able to be mitame, the ones that it's touching, that would be a shlishi. So what? How far would it go? You only have a shlishi by truma and a revi by kachim. You don't have the ability to transfer tumah to that extent that all of the mustard seeds in the middle will be tame. So says Rashi, it's a davar pashut, that the way the transference of tumah is working over here is that it's purely from the fact that they're all in the avira kli. So that's how we know from the fact that kol mashu betocho, anything inside the kli becomes tameh, that's how we know that that the avir is mitameh, that which is inside of it, and therefore we can then extend that to the kli becoming tameh from tumah that is in its avir. Now Tosos has a slightly different take than Rashi on this this idea of the mustard seeds. If you look at Tosos on the bottom, hatori idol kli cheres v'afilu malichardol, the fimashim farish rabbeinu tam de'in ochel makabel tumah mida oraisa pachos mikabetza. So he says, Rabbeinu, there is a machlokas throughout Shas, machlokas Rishonim. We know on some level that a kabetza is a meaningful shear when it comes to kavalas tuma, when it comes to tumas ochlin. I shouldn't say kavalas, when it comes to tumas ochlin. The question is, everyone agrees that in order for food to be metame something else, it needs to be the size of a kabetza. What about in order for food to become tame itself? Does that also need to be the size of a kibetza? So that's a machlokas rishonim. Rabbeinu Tam holds throughout Shas that just like in order to be metame something else, food needs to be the size of a kibetza. In order for food to become tame, it also needs to be the size of a kibetza. Rashi holds otherwise. Rashi says, no, to become tame, there's no sheer kibetza. Only to be metame other things, it needs to be the size of a kibetza. So says Tosfos, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that in order for food to become tame, it needs to be the size of a kibetza. So chardol, we're talking about mustard seeds becoming tame by being in a kli cheres, mustard seeds are way smaller than an egg, no matter how small your sheer kibetza is. So he says, lo nakar chardol dafka, kolomar vafilu male beitzim. He said, it doesn't really mean to say chardol, it means even if the bowl was filled with, you had a giant bowl and it was filled with eggs, and not all the eggs were touching the kli. V'nakar chardol mishum to be the rabbanon mekabel tumah b'kol shehu. And chardol, it's true, the halach happens to be true about chardol, but not midor reisa. Midor reisa, chardol cannot become tame because it's less than the size of the kibetza. But it's midrabanon, it's mekabel tumah. But on a dor reisa level, enochinami, the pasuk can't be talking about chardol. The pasuk, when it says kol mashem b'tocho becomes tame, has to be talking about items that are at least the size of a kibetza. Hiksha Rabbeinu Ephraim minol dahainu mitam avir dilma havi mitam shekli charis mitzarif kishukula nogan zebzev nogan bekli aval nitlim ba'avir lo. So frekta Rabbeinu Ephraim, very simple question. How do you know, a little different than Rashi. Rashi said, how do you know that it's from the avir of the kli that they're becoming tameh? Maybe it's from the fact that each one is touching the next one, which is touching the next one, which ultimately goes back to touching the kli. No, says Rabbeinu Ephraim, I'll ask better. Maybe the fact that they're all in one kli makes them one unit. And if they're one unit, so part of that unit is touching the walls of the kli. It's not that it's that the middle seeds are viewed differently than the outer seeds, and therefore it's metame me'avir. No, it's just all one unit. So he says, Yeshomer Sivhacha Kol Mashma Afilu Nitzla Ba'avir. He says that maybe the word kol comes to teach me that even if it's not a bunch of stuff that's all together, that's in a group, even if it's just one single thing dangling down in the airspace of the kli, that the word kol teaches me that even that is tame. Okay, right through in the Gemara now. Top line, Chaf Heim Ralf. Amr le Rava de Barava le Rava, v'yehei kli charis mi tame mi gavo mi kavl chomer. Why don't we say that a kli charis can become tame even when something tame touches the outside of the kli from the following kavl chomer? Uma kol kelim shein mi tame mi avirin mi tame mi gavon, if other kelim which cannot become tame from the airspace can become tame from something touching the outside of them. Klicheres shemitame me'aviro enodin sheyitame migabo. Apparently, we have a chumra by klicheres that it's easier to make it tame, that it could even become tame when sheretz dangles in the airspace. So all the more so, a klicheres should be able to become tame when something touches the outside of the kli. So says the Gemara. No, amar kra v'chol kli pasuach asher ein samid pasil alav. The pasuk says whenever you have an open kli that doesn't have a lid on it, a tight lid on it, so then it's going to become tame if that kli is in the same room as a dead body, let's say. So if you don't have a kli if you have a kli that does not have a tight lid on it, so then it's going to become tame when it's in the same room as a dead body, which implies obviously that if you have a kli that does have a tight lid on the top, even though it's in the same room as a dead body, it's not going to become tame. So ezo kli shetumaso kedemus lepisco. What's the kind of kli that the tuma all relates to the opening of the kli, that the tuma will hit the kli as soon as it goes into the pesach hakli, even without actually touching the kli, that it's all about the Pesach. Haviyomer zeh kli cheres. It's obviously a reference to a kli cheres, because a kli cheres is the only thing that's metame me'aviro, that can become tame from just something touching the airspace. V'chi ein samid pasil lav hu detame, hayesh samid pasil lav tahar. And yet, says in the pasuk, that when is it going to become tame? When there's no lid on it. Sounds like when there is a lid on it, it will be tahar. Why should it be tahar when there's a lid on it? Isn't the tuma in contact with the outside of the kli? So you see that the outside of the kli cannot contract tuma. That's the din. By a kli charis, we darshan from the pasuk. So frak the Gemara, okay, let's ask the reverse. View like we've always been doing. View kol hakelim Mitamin me aviron me kal v'chomer. Why don't we say that all other kelim can also contract tuma from the airspace by dangling a sheretz in the airspace of other kelim from the following kal v'chomer? Umakli cheres she'in mitamin megava umitamin me'aviro, if a kli cheres, which cannot become tameh from the outside by anything touching the outside, can become tameh by something dangling on the inside. Kol ha'kelim she'mitamin megavon, so other kelim which can become tameh from touching the outside, ain't odin she'mitamin ba'aviron, all the more so should be able to become tameh from something dangling in the inside airspace. So first of all, if we were to actually say this kal v'chomer, and it would turn out that other kelim can be mitameh me'aviron, so Tosfos just points out that im kain li tame migabo lo li tame migabo dashim to kubu kula kar de kol klip suach to bekulam to makademus lepischan. If this were the case, then the halacha would therefore turn out, meaning if this kal v'chomer were true, and it were true that other kelim became tame from the avir, then the previous drasha just taught us that if something is mitame me'aviro, it's not mitame migabo. Because we said that the pasuk about a lid on a kli is only about those kelim that are metame ba'aviran, which we assumed meant only kli cheres. But if this drasha were true, if this kal v'chomer were true, that it's about everything, then that entire pasuk about the lid would be about every keli, and therefore every keli would only be tame mitocho and not migabo. So it's a very strange hava amina. So it says Tosos Yesham Makom Lomukminulayal Bukli Kharis Tuksiv Tumas Avir Behedya. No, still we would have said that previous drasha is only by Ikli Kharis, even if it were true that other kelim became tami me'aviro, because it never says explicitly in the Torah that other kelim become tami me'aviro. It only mentions the word tocho in connection to a kli cheres. So we would have limited the drasha to where the Torah says it explicitly, as opposed to wherever it happens to be true. So anyway, so is this halacha true that kol kelim that are mitame migabon should be able to be mitame me'aviron? Amakra tocho. Tocho shel zeh, v'lo tocho shel acher. No, that's why the pasuk says tocho by kli cheres. That teaches me tocho of a kli cheres, not tocho of any other kli. Any other kli doesn't have a din of tocho. Something being inside the kli, inside the airspace of the kli, is not metami it. So, frankly, Mara v'hani tocho adashinu. Wait a second. We just went through all these drashas with tocho. Right? We said we learned from tocho that just like it's just like by litame it's afal pishlo naga. So to by litame it's afal pishlo naga. We already darshan tocho. Says Gemara arba tocho ksivi. It says tocho four times. What it really means is it says tocho twice, but it could have said toch each time, and instead it said tocho. So each time it says the word tocho, it's a double drasha. So it says if there are four drashas to be made. Tocho, toch, tocho, toch. It says tocho twice. Each one we have the element of toch plus tocho. Chad l'gufei, v'chad l'gzeir shava, v'chad l'tocho shel zeh v'lo tocho shel acher. What are the four drashas? One is just to tell me the din that it's metame me'aviro, that's lugufei. One is to tell me the gzeirah shava that it should be mekabel tuma from the avir even though the sheretz doesn't touch it. The tocho litame and tocho litame. Right, so one teaches me the very din that it's mitame from the inside. The other one that we learned that litame and litame are the same. And one tocho shezev lo tocho shalacher, that the din of tocho, the din of avir, is only a din by klicheres. It's not a din by any other kelim. And the final one teaches me tocho v'lo toch tocho v'afil klishetef. What does that mean? V'afil klishetef matzil should be the gears of the Gemara. So what does that mean? So Rashi gives us fills us in on that. Toch, if you look at Rashi, about 10 lines before the lines get before the lines stop being skinny. Toch v'lo toch toch v'afil klishetef matzil im hay kli munach b'toch klicheres. Let's say you have a kli inside of a klicheres, so you have two kelim, one inside of the other. Upia pnimi l'malam upia chitzon. The inner kli is a taller kli than the outer kli, so the opening of it is above the rim of the klicheres. Like the Medrash explains, v'ochlamu mashkin b'pnimi, and you have food, tahar food in the inner kli, v'tuma ba'avir achitzon, and you have a sheretz dangling in the airspace of the outer kli. Eina ochlin tamein delav tocho de klicheres ninu ela toch tocho. The food inside the inner kli does not become tamei because it is not tocho of a klicheres, it is toch tocho of a klicheres. And the toch tocho is not going to be tamei. That which is inside the klicheres, is not going to become tamei. Vafilu klishetav matzil delomi bayipnimiim gam hushal cheres de matzil. Not only if the inner kli is also made out of cheres, is it matzil, because we know a kli cheres itself from the outside, nothing happens to it. Dikiven de eno mitame migabo lo nitma. So since it can't become tame from the sherets dangling in the airspace of the outer kli, because the outside of a kli cheres doesn't become tame, v'chotzitz b'fnei ha-tumah, and therefore it's going to be a good barrier to stop the tumah. Sheba avir achitzon ela filu kli shetef de mitame migabo. Even if, let's say, it's a metal kli inside of a kli cheres, you have a tall metal kli inside of a shorter, wider kli cheres, and the food is inside the metal kli. And you might have thought, no, the metal kli cannot stop the tumah, because if there's tumah right outside of it, so it itself is going to become tameh. Still, matzil ala ochlin shabatocho, shari gam hu lo nitma. Still, it's going to be it's going to save the food inside of it, and it's going to be a proper chatzitza, because also because tocho v'lo toch tocho. Okay, so that's the drasha of toch v'lo toch tocho v'afilu klishet of matzil. So frankly, Gemara Vayter, v'loyu kala kelim mitamin migaban ela mitochan ubenegia mikal v'chomer. We should say, okay, granted, there's no din of avir by other kelim, but we should say that other kelim should not be able to contract tuma from the outside of the kli, only from the inside of the kli, not ba'avir, b'negia, when something touches the inside of the kli, from the following kal v'chomer. Umakli cheres shemitame me'aviro, eino mitame migabo, kol hakelim she'en mitame me'aviro, neino din she'en mitame migabon. If a kli cheres, which can become tame from the inside, cannot become tame from the outside, so other kelim which can become tame, which cannot become tame from the avir, even though they can become tame when something touches them on the inside, they cannot become tame from the avir, all the more so should not be able to become tame from the outside of the kli. So amakra v'chol kli psua chasher ein tamid pasil l'lav tamehu. Well, we have that drasha about the pasuk that describes the kli cheres, and it says if it doesn't have a rim, it is tame. Hayhu d'chiyen tzamid pasil lav tameh, hayesh tzamid pasil lav tahar. It's only by a kli cheres that having the rim, having the lid, makes a difference. That without the lid, it's tameh, with the lid, it's tahar. Hakala kelim bein sheyesh tzamid pasil aleim, bein sheyen tzamid pasil aleim, mitamin. But we dashin by all other kelim, whether it has a tzamid pasil, whether it doesn't have a tzamid pasil, it's going to be tameh. This is different than the drasha we made before. Before, the whole point of the drasha was to tell me, if it has a tzamid pasil, then it's going to be tahar. And that was there to teach me that the gav is not going to be mitame by a kli cheres. But over here we're using teach me that the gav is mitame by other kelim. That if it has a tzamid pasil or not, it doesn't make a difference by other kelim, because the gav, the outside of the kli, is going to become tame by other kelim anyway. Period. Next Mishnah, again, continuing our series of Mishnayos, of that which applies to one doesn't apply to the other, etc. We're almost done with that series, but okay, says the Mishnah. Tar b'kliyetz, tami b'kli matkos, tar b'kli matkos, tami b'kliyetz. That which is tar by a wood kli is tame by a metal kli. That which is tame by a metal kli is tar by a wood kli. So what does that mean? Tan rabbanon. Gulmei kli. What's a golem? A golem means unfinished. Something that's a basic form of something, but it's not really completed. So if you have a kli eitz that's not really completed, tamei, and it's already mekabel tumah, even though it's not yet completed, pshutei and tahorin. But if you have pshutei kli eitz, which means that there's no base kibul, it's just a flat kli eitz, like a kneading board where you knead your dough or something like that, so that is going to be tahor. Gulmei kli matchos, if you have a gulmei kli matchos, an unfinished metal kli, tahorin, that's going to be tahor, pshutei and tamein. But if you have flat metal kelim, those are tamei. So nimtza tahor b'kliyetz, tamei b'klimatchos, tahor b'klimatchos, tamei b'kliyetz. Fine, so it turns out that they're the reverse of each other. Ve'eluhin gulmei kliyetz. What does it mean that kliyetz is a golem? What about it is unfinished? So the Gemara gives several examples. Kol sha'asid v'ashuv, anything that you haven't yet polished it, l'shabetz, the article translation is, it hasn't been studded, meaning there are little things they put on it to add to the design, legarer, it hasn't been smoothed out by scraping it. Lekarkev, it hasn't been, article translation is banded, and Rashi translates shechokek ben chakikos gedolos v'karkov kedarok sholsim b'kisoy tevos v'safsalim, that they make these grooves along the edges of the kli, so they haven't done that. Latiach betonas, they would smooth it out by rubbing fish skins on the kli, so it hasn't been smoothed with the fish skins. Or mechusar kan, it's missing a base. O ogen, it's missing a rim. O ozen, it's missing a handle. In all those cases, these are unfinished wooden kelim. Tame, they're tame already. Just because they're missing these little elements, it doesn't make it a non-kli. It's still a kli. Mechusar chatita tahar, but if it hasn't yet been hollowed out, meaning you haven't made your base kibble, and it's supposed to be a bowl, but it doesn't have a base kibble, there's nowhere for anything to go, then it's going to be tahar. So says Gemara, Mechusa Chatita Pshita, you're telling me that a block of wood you plan on one day turning into a bowl by cutting out the inside is tahar? Of course that's tahar. It's not a bowl. It can't do anything yet. So of course that's going to be tahar. Says Gemara, Lo Tzricha Decha Kafiza Bekava. No, the point is that it's a kli that you want to make a kav, the size of a kav, and you hollowed out so far three lug. The only thing is a kav needs four lug, so you hollowed out so far part of the space, but you haven't completed the hollowing out yet. So the size is not the size that you're going to want it to be. But it's not that it's useless, it's not that there's no base kibble. There is a base kibble, it's just not the base kibble that you're planning on making. So at that stage, it's still going to be tar. That's the chiddush. So that's the definition of a golem when it comes to kli eitz. What's the definition of golem when it comes to kli matchos? Kol sha'asid lashuf l'shabeit l'garer, those we had already, right? Lashuf to polish, to study, to smooth it. L'karkev, we also had already to make the edges around the rim. L'hakish b'kornus, over here this is the one that's unique to klimatus, to bang it with the hammer. So a metal kli that gets dented, you can bang it out with a hammer. By a wooden kli, it doesn't really work. Mechusar kan o ogen o ozen, if it's missing a base or a rim or a handle, tahar. So that's considered a golem. That is tahar by a kli mateches. Mechusar kisui tamei, if all it's missing is a cover, then it's going to be tamei. Rashi, she'ina kisui mimelechas hakli, shaklisui kli acharu. The cover is not considered part of the kli. The cover is considered a separate kli. O below kisui hu binoyo, without its kisui, it's already considered to be in its full glory, in its full beauty. It's just that they make a kisui, but the cover is a different kli. There's no gelamaisa, the fact that we consider a cover a different kli, when the post can talk about opening bottles on Shabbos. So is it tikkun mana if the kisui was not a usable cover beforehand? So that's what they say on the old Kedem grape juice bottles. They don't use this anymore. Now they use plastic covers, but they used to have a metal cover. Sometimes you find a very cheap wine that will have the metal cover, which the way it's made, it doesn't actually screw off properly, you know, really well, because the way it's made is it wasn't made as a cover that they put on the bottle. It was a flat sheet of metal, and in the factory, the flat sheet is just pressed onto the bottle and just sort of pretty much takes the shape of the top of the bottle. So it was never a usable kli beforehand. It was just a flat sheet of metal. When you open the bottle and you rip off the bottom ring or whatever it is, when you open the bottle, you are now making it a usable kli. You'll say, no, it's not a kli, it's just a cover. Says Rashi, no, a kisui is a kli. So that was a major issue. With the plastic one, so it's already in the shape of a cover, and it's already, so you could argue at least that it's already a somewhat usable kli even before they put it onto the bottle. So when you take it off the bottle, you're not, for the first time, you're not making it into a kli. But with those old metal ones, that was the bigger issue. That was the much bigger problem. There are some postmen that even want to suggest with the plastic ones that it's a problem, because when it's not usable until that bottom ring is ripped off. That while the if the bottom ring is still on, the tamper-proof ring is still on, so it's not, it can't be taken off and put back on. It's not usable as a kli. It's only when it's ripped off. But certainly with those metal ones, that was the issue. But again, it's related to this issue that a kisui itself is a separate kli. It's its own kli. It's not just considered tafel to the larger kli, which let's say the bottle, which is certainly a kli in its own right. But anyway, frek the gemara, maishnahani, maishnahani. Why the difference between metal and wooden kelim? So what do we mean? Why the difference? In legabe what? Legabe the the pshutei or legabe the gulmei. So Tosu says agulmaihu kai the pshutei pshita the kli eitz who the iskus l'sak. Now we understand already why pshutei kli eitz are not tamei and pshutei kli maklos are tamei. Why flat kli eitz are not tamei, flat kli maklos are tamei. That we know. Rashi explained in the third wide line on Amud Aleph is that the there is a comparison the psukim make between kli eitz and sak. And sackcloth, or kli made out of beged or or, just like a kli made out of beged or or needs to have a base kibul, it needs to have a receptacle. So too kli eitz, in order to become tamei, need to have a receptacle. Kli machlos are never compared to beged or sack, and therefore kli machlos don't require receptacles. So that's easy for us to understand why it is that a flat kli matecha should be tamei and a flat kli eitz should be tar. But why is it that a gulme kli eitz are tamei and gulme kli matechas are tar? That's what we're asking about. So says there are two possibilities. Possibility number one, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, hol kavod asuyin. Since they're made for kavod, kli machlos are considered fancier, and since they're made to be a beautiful, respectable thing, so until you make it beautiful, until you finish every last detail, it's not really l'kavod, it's not really done. Whereas a kli eitz is just made for functionality more than for style, and as it's functional before you put the studs on, it's functional. So you have a golem, it's still already going to be functional, therefore already going to be tamei. Rav Nachman Amar. Rav Nachman says, no, it has nothing to do with functionality versus style. It has to do with the fact that kli matechas are expensive. So if you're going to buy something expensive, you want it to have all the bells and whistles. You want it to be done. You want it to be, to be really nice. So people, you can't sell it if you haven't finished it. No one's going to buy it because if they're spending that kind of money, they want it to be done properly. Sometimes people are willing to spend a lot of money, but they want to know that what they're getting is something of high quality. So my b'nai l'maynaf kamina, whether it's a din of kavod or it's a din of the price. So ikabinai kli etzem. Now, if kamina is kelim made out of bones, bones are also very expensive, but they're not asuyin l'kavod. They're not made as a very fancy type of thing. So according to Rav Nachman, they would have a din of kli matchos, because it's all about the expense. According to Rabbi Yochanan, they would have a din of kli eitz, because it's all about how much it's made l'kavod. So that's the nafkamina. Vaz Rav Nachman l'tamei, dam Rav Nachman kli etzem kli matchos damu, and that's Rav Nachman l'shitaso, because Rav Nachman happens told that kli etzem have the same din as kli matchos, that they have a din of metal kalim. So it says, wow, if that's the nafkamina, you're implying that bone china, kalim made out of bone, can become tamei. Mechal de klei etzem mekabli tuma. That implies that kelim made out of bone is mekabel tuma. So is that really true? As Rashi says, bitmiya vehecha remiza. Where do we ever have that in the Torah that klei etzem are mekabel tuma? If you look at Tosfos, Tos points out midar raisa kabayil asuye da pshita sheish ben tuma. The masizim musachs kelim meis leperkam the Shabbos klei etz veklei zechutz veklei etzem pshutei and taharin umekabli and tmein. It's beferish mishnayis and kelim. That if you have clay etzem and it's flat, then it's tahar, but if it has a base kibul, it has a receptacle, then it's tamei, even if it's made out of bone. So what kind of, the Gemara is a bitmiya. Really? Clay etzem can become tamei? So Tal says, no, the bitmiya is on, can it become tamei midal raisa? Is it really true that it could be mekabel tumah midal raisa? Midrabanan vada it's mekabel tumah. That's not the issue. So says Gemara in yet mekabel tumah even midar raisa. The Tanya we have the following brisa that teaches us so. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osho b'Yochum ben Broka Omer matam alom b'kol maase izim tischatau. What does the pasuk mean when it says kol maase izim tischatau? So it teaches us lahavi davra b'mini izim min akarnayim min atalpayim, anything that comes from any part of the goat. So including the bones of the goat. So that teaches us that even the bones are able to become tamei. So says the Gemara, shar behema v'chaya minayin. How do I know that it's true about other animals as well? Tamalomer, not just goats. Tamalomer v'kol ma'asa. V'kol is inclusive. Imkein matam lomer izim. Why does it say goats then if it really means any animal? Prat la'ofos, telling you animals that are similar to a goat, which means not ofos, not birds, but kalim made, I don't know if there even exists such a thing, but kalim made out of bird bones are not going to be tamei on a daraisa level. Look at Tosfos, shar beim v'chayim minayin tam lomer kol ma'aseh, v'im tamer deperek bame isha dorish dover haba mizanav hasus mizanav hapara mibegir v'or, tepek lein mi v'kol. the Gemara has a special drasha to tell me that which comes from a horse's tail can become tame. Why don't we just learn from the kol that anything that's any part of the animal? Why do I need special drashas? The Yishlamer de'in le'rabels mi v'kol ela atzamos shedomen zelazeh shel izim v'shel behema. Aval b'seir lo damu. He says, if the kol is coming to tell me something about all animals, it has to be something that's similar between all animals. Bone matter of different animals is pretty much the same. It looks pretty much the same. The bones of one animal to the next animal, one's bones are a little skinnier, a little smaller, a little bigger, but they're basically the same structure of bones. When it comes to the hair, though, hair in different animals, the fur of different animals is completely different. They don't even resemble each other. So the word v'kol as an inclusive term to include all animals must be about something that the animals have in common, not something that's unique to one type of animal and is completely different on another type of animal. Okay, next Mishnah. Hachayiv b'shkedim hamarim patr b'metukim. That which is chayiv on the bitter almonds is patr on the sweet ones. Hachayiv b'metukim patr b'marim. That which is chayiv on the sweet ones is patr on the bitter ones. So again, what's this about? Tan Rabbanan, shkedim hamarim ketanim chayavim gedolim peturim. If you have the bitter, small bitter shkedim, so they're going to be chayiv in maestros. The larger ones are going to be pater maisos. Why is the small one chayv in maisos? Because it's normal to eat it when they're small before they turn bitter. Whereas the larger ones, when they're already bitter, it's not normal to eat them, and therefore it's not chayv in maisos, not a food anymore. Metukim, but the sweeter shkedim gedolim chayavin, when they're larger the chayv, because that's when it had a gemar pri. That's when we consider that it's finished. Katan and Peturim, but when they're small, they're potter, because it's not normal to eat them when they're very small. So it depends if you're dealing with the bitter types of Shkedim or the sweet types of Shkedim. The bitter types of Shkedim, you only eat them when they're small. The sweet types of Shkedim, you only eat them when they're big. So Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi Yomer Mishumaviv Zevze Liftar. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi says, no, both Ketanim are potter, the way Rashi understands. Ketanim, small Shkedim are potter, whether you're dealing with the sweet ones or the bitter ones, meaning don't say that the small bitter ones are chayiv because you eat them. No, they're both going to be pater when they're small. Varmila zevzel chiv. Others say no. The large ones, whether they're bitter or whether they're sweet, are always going to be chayiv, meaning even the large bitter ones are going to be chayiv. Amar Abila, Hor Rabbi Chanina b'tzipori, Kedivrei Amar zevzel liftar. He paskin like the shita that the small ones are always going to be pater. Ulmandi Amar zevzel chiyuv gedolim l'may chazu. Now, what about the other shita that says that the large ones and the big one, the large ones of both the bitter and the sweet ones are always going to be chayiv? What would you do, gedolim l'may chazu? What would you do with large bitter shkedim? There's not. How would you eat them? Why would they be chayiv in my sauce? You could always fix them up. You could always fix them up by cooking them. When you cook them, the bitterness leaves, and therefore they're going to become edible again. And since you have that option, so therefore they are usable. Now, this translation of Zevzel Liftar and Zevzel Chiyuv is Rashi's translation. Right? Rashi says Zevzel Liftar means small ones are always potter from Maestros. Zevzel Chiyuv means large ones are always chayv in Maestros. If you take a look at Tosos, Zevzel Liftar, Tosos writes, Perish, Marim, Bein Gedolim, Bein Ketanim, that Zevzel Liftar means bitter ones are always going to be potter, whether they're small or large. Not that small ones are always going to be potter, whether they're bitter or sweet. No, Zevzel Liftar means bitter ones are always going to be potter, whether they're small or large. Gedolim ibnei shemarim biyoser, uketanim ibnei shelo nigmaru. The large ones because they're very bitter, and the small ones because it's not a gemar pri yet. So it makes sense. There's logical reason to assume why each one will be potter. Va'armila zevzel lechiyuv, and when we say zevzel lechiyuv means gedolim ibnei shelo nigmaru, uketanim ufisha tovim yoser. That zevzel lechiyuv is talking about the same thing that Zevzel Liftar is talking about. We're talking about the bitter ones, and we're saying whether they're small or they're large. One mandiyamer says they're patur, the other mandiyamer says they're chayv. Rashi changed it in the middle. Rashi said Zevzel Liftar is talking about small ones across the board, whether they're bitter or sweet. Zevzel Chiv is talking about large ones across the board. But the lashon of Zevzel Liftar va'amila Zevzel Chiv sounds like there are two deos arguing about the same item. So Tos says it's clearly all about the bitter ones. And Zevzel means large and small, and the first deos says both large and small are patur. Second one says both large and small are chayv. Why would you say both large and small are chayv? Well, the large ones are nigmaru, and the small ones are better. They're better to eat. He says Rashi's pshat is very dachuk. Okay, so Mr. Shem will stop there. We'll pick up from the Mishnah tomorrow, the last Mishnah in the series of what applies to one doesn't apply to the other. I think. Oh no, not the last one.